Good morning, everyone. If y'all could find your ways to your seats, that'd be greatly appreciated. Looks like we're about at 10:20, so awesome to have everyone and enjoying each other's fellowship. I'd like to welcome our visitors. Glad you're here with us today. Hope you feel right at home with us. And here to honor and glorify our God. Just kind of know we're doing a little bit differently, kind of what Anthony had been doing in the past. So bear with me. Hopefully everything goes smoothly. If you would, those of you could, why don't you stand to your feet, and we'll sing the first song, Come Bless the Lord, Are You Servants of the Lord? And I think we've got it set up to where we can put it overhead with our lyrics and all. Song is Let Your Living Water Flow Over My Soul. And in the beginning, there's a prayer. So if you can just kind of in a reverent and a prayerful manner, we'll go ahead and play this song.
Father, we glorify your name and we thank you for sending your Son Jesus. We know, Lord, that you care about all our problems and all our hurts and every disease. And Jesus, we know that as we release ourselves in faith, trusting only in you, that the power of the Holy Spirit will be released, healing and wiping away all doubt, disappointment, and fear. Father, let the power of your Spirit move upon every man, every woman, every child, from every tribe and in every nation, as we await the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, let your living water flow.
Your Holy Spirit come and take control.
Somebody maybe have just a word of a testimony or something at this moment. A word of praise.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we lift up Brother Stace, Lord. We lift up his wife, Father. I mean, his mom. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are the author and finisher of our faith. You are the creator of all life, and you're the one who heals. You're the divine healer. You're our God. And we come to you this morning because you have the answers to all of our life, and Your way is perfect, and you make our way perfect. That was David's faith, and together with him, Lord, we believe and we confess this morning that you are God, the sovereign God over all flesh. There's a time to be born and a time to die. But until that time, you give us life. And you give us then eternal life. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would raise up Stace this morning, strengthen his inner man with all might by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give him that faith to trust in you with all his heart. And the rest of the family, and as their mother, Lord, on this Mother's Day, is struggling with her health, Lord, we pray that you would touch her and heal her. You would do a miracle. You are still the God of miracles. You haven't changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we say, amen. It is so. And so you can touch her. You can heal her, Lord. And we pray, most importantly, you would comfort the family. Strengthen their hearts. Draw near to them and comfort them and give them grace. And I pray, shepherd them with your word. Your word is truth. It's the anchor of our soul. And it's what encourages and brings us faith to trust in you, our Father. So bless them today on this Mother's Day. Make it special for them, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, bro. Next song is 10,000 Reasons.
Holy name, sing like never before.
got 10,000 reasons this morning? All right, let's hear it. Oh, you got more?
Yeah, I've got more than 10,000.
Awesome. Yeah. Thing that goes very well with the song we're about to sing is Shine, Jesus, Shine. I think it just fit very much ties into with this one.
Truth, you now bring us. Shine on,
seated. Turn the time over to the, I guess we got children's lessons this morning.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I think because of the lack of kids here this morning, we'll just pass on the children's lesson. Hope you're not too disappointed about that. But maybe Judd can save it for next Sunday. just want to welcome everyone, and thanks for being here. And want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. I was thinking about it a little bit yesterday, and I know we often, we take Mother's Day, we thank them for everything they do for us, and we thank them for being there for us and taking care of us and our kids, but I was wondering, I think there's a lot more to being a mother than just what we see. There's a lot of inward things that we don't notice that, sometimes they feel, but they'll never say anything. We see them getting up at night taking care of the kids, and that's awesome, that's hard, but I think sometimes there's more, there's that passion, there's that love in a mother that sometimes we don't notice. So today I just want to give your mom an extra thank you today for more than just the physical aspects of it, but for the things that she feels and may never show. So hope that makes sense. a few announcements to make. There's going to be a book study May 22nd. I guess that's next week. Yeah, at John's house. As usual, prayer here Saturday morning at 7, and spread the word on our annual youth retreat, August 7th through 11th. Anybody that wants to come, get the word out there. And then there's also the hymn sing Saturday, June 15th, that everyone's welcome to attend. And we also have lunch today. The guys are taking care of everything, so moms, ladies, this is your day to relax. So please stay and join us for that. And Ellie will be sharing the word with us today. And so let's just pray before he comes up, and then we'll turn the time over to him. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. And thank you that you care about each one of us here, and we pray this morning that our hearts would be open to hear your word, that you would speak to us and you would give us direction and give us life, and be with L.E. as he shares those thoughts with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, hello. Am I on now? Is it on? Can you hear me? Yes, you can. Okay, good. Okay, let's bring this thing down here. I mean, everybody has told me so many times the name of this thing. I just cannot learn it. I'm sorry. It's the thing in my heart, like the thing. So I would like to start by welcoming, please help me welcome my brother, Jaciel. Jaciel. So he's... In my family, we're four, my sister, me, then Jaciel, then Adriel. Sorry for the names. I know they're hard for you. That's how I feel about your names, okay? So we're even. So his wife went down to Mexico, and my wife is in Arizona right now. She's probably looking at us right now. Hey, Christy, I turned off the beans, or you're good, almost forgot. So we're single today, and I told him, pajama party, you and I. So we might go to bed around 8 p.m., but it's still fine. We're almost 40 years old, so we cannot last, you know, like all the night having fun. And we also have, I just remember our little friend Ella. Is it Ella? Ella, where are you, Ella? Ella. She's sleeping. Hey. Welcome. I just want to welcome you and your mommy and your daddy and your grandma and your grandpa. So please, let's welcome Ella's family. Sorry I wake you up. And we also have my dear friend Mike Gooch and his wife. Is it Carol? Is that Mike and Carol Gooch? They are Leah's parents, in case you didn't know. So please, let's welcome them. That's why Henry took a shower and he's behaving well today. You can tell, right? I mean, he knows. He's a smart guy. So, yeah, no. He didn't take the shower. It's okay. We still love you, Henry. So I want to tell you something about Mike really quick. The day I met Mike, well, Leah moved, you know, to Colorado. And, of course, Mike, as a good father, came to check where Leah was going to be living. You know, Leah was going to stay with us. The day he came into my house, we were having lunch, and he made fun of me. From that moment, I thought, I like this guy. You know, not everybody comes to my house and makes fun of me the first day. Since then, we're good friends, you know what I mean? So if you see us talking, he's probably making fun of me. But it's all good. It's all cool, you know. So welcome, Mike and Carol. We're happy that you guys are here. Wow, that's a long intro, huh? So today is Mother's Day. So I want to say to all the mothers, happy birthday, happy 4th of July, Merry Christmas, and all the happy anniversary things, and happy Mother's Day to you all. So Mother's Day, yay. It's awesome. Okay, let's get back to it. We've been studying the book of Colossians, and Mike, by the way, I just discovered that I was saying the wrong word. I was saying Colossians instead of Colossians. It's the difference is so small that I couldn't hear it, but now I hope I'm closer to the right word. So we've been studying the book of Colossians, and let me give, you know, for the sake of those that haven't been here before the last couple weeks, months, what was happening with these people is that there were so many religions around. They were listening to so many thoughts and things that sounded good, but they were far away from God, far away from Jesus. So it was a little bit tricky, you know, because there were some things that they sounded good, and it sounded like, you know, okay, this is good. But it was against the Bible. It was against what Jesus, you know, desires for us. So we're going to be in chapter 2, verse 20. I'm going to read 20 to 23. And hopefully we have time. I want to start with the first part of chapter 3. So it says, if with Christ you died, chapter 2, verse 20. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perished as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So, do you know what a conditional sentence is? The definition is kind of silly because it's basically a sentence that contains a condition. When I read that, I was like, how am I going to explain this? Well, it's basically when you start saying something like, if this, then that, all right? So if this action or if this something, there is a consequence. For those that have worked or have an idea about programming, you know, on the computer, you use that a lot. Like almost everything in programming is about if conditionals. For instance, I'll say, what would be a good example? If you eat a lot of tacos, you can say tacos. If you eat a lot of tacos, you're going to feel really good, first of all, right? But if you eat too many tacos, then you might get a stomach ache or something. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you're going to feel fine. If, for instance, alcohol is a great example, because if you drink too much alcohol, then you're going to get drunk. Otherwise, I mean, if you don't drink too much, then hopefully you're not going to get drunk. Sorry for the example, but does that make sense? So if something, then otherwise. So let's keep this in mind, because this starts with a conditional. It is saying, if with Christ, and by the way, even though this word was directly, it's a letter written to the people at Colossae, it applies to ourselves too. So let's take this as if God is talking to us right now in this way. So he's telling us, he's telling you, dear all, if with Christ you die to the elemental spirits of the world. Check this out. Died. You know, I want to be careful with this example, because we just had the loss of Mama Esh. And I know, bro, I know it's hard, and you know, we're with you and we love you, bro. But you know, we know she's not gonna come back. Right now, you know, like with us to be here right now, like in a physical body. We know that, right? So why then, when something that is dead cannot come back? And if it comes back, whoa, careful. You know, if you see, I don't know, if your grandpa passed away, and then you see your grandpa in your living room, hold on. That's not normal. Something is off. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. You know what I'm saying? If something is dead, it's gone. It's supposed to stay like that. So if with Christ we die to the elemental spirits of the world, to the things that rule this world, why, he's saying, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? So this makes me, and help me here if you think I'm wrong, but it makes me think or understand that some people actually were submitting themselves into these regulations, into things that the world sets in front of you and makes you think that you have to do this in order to be a good Christian, let's say, you know, or to honor the Lord. And it's interesting that the next verse, it says, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. You notice something about these three things? All of them are feelings. Right? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Everything is about feeling. Which is very interesting. Okay, let me ask you this question. Would you consider yourself right now, or would you say that at some point in your life that you were legalistic? Yep. Hey, thank you for being honest. You too, bro. Thank you for being honest. You know, if you're thinking, nah, okay, let me give you the definition in a different way then. Were there things in your life, or are there things in your life right now that you think you have to do in order to honor the Lord, in order to be a good person? It is the same thing. You know why? Because that is setting a standard. It is setting a standard in your life that, well, it will do eventually. It will make you point at people and say, like, he's not living the way I am living. Or he's not doing what he's supposed to do. You see it? Everything is about what you do. You know why? Because we like the idea. We like to know that we're doing great. Did you agree with me? I want to make sure that I'm living my life for Jesus the right way, of course. right? And I am going to try to do my best. You see it? It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one. It's a feeling. I'm trying to get that feeling of, okay, I think I'm doing the right thing. Okay, I think I'm doing fine. I think I'm doing well. Interestingly, though, verse 22 says, referring to things that all perished as they are used. I think I mentioned to you, you know, and I'm not trying to attack the denomination, you know, that I grew up in Mexico, and or any denomination. But it was a sin. This is, I don't know, probably 20 years ago. It was a sin to go to the movie theater. Now, I'm not trying to say, yes, go to the movie theater and watch whatever trash they present over there. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I grew up listening to this, hearing this, that if you go to the movie theater, it doesn't matter what you watch, even if it is a good thing, let's call it, as they have many good things. But anyways, if you go to the movie theater, it's a sin. Why? Because you're not supposed to go to places in which there are sinners. That's what they told us. Now, you see the problem with that? There is a part in the Bible, and of course, I don't remember. I mean, I don't remember it in Spanish. I can say it in Spanish if you want me to, by the way. In English, it says something about we do not sit in places. I'm going to call it bad people. That's the only way I can translate it in my head. You know what I mean? There is a part, I believe it's a psalm.
Psalm 1.
Oh, it's a psalm. I got it. Ah, lucky me. Okay, so because of that, but then I was like, so what do I do then when I take the bus to go to school? Am I supposed to go standing the whole time, you know, like I cannot sit over there because a sinner sat over there before me? You see it? Now, this is the interesting part. 15 years later, it was not a sin anymore. How is that possible? So now we have the people that were preaching that and saying, like, you know what, let's meet at the movie theater. Let's go watch this new movie, whatever. So I was like, so what happened? Is the Bible evolving or Jesus changed his mind or what's going on? You see, regulations that we are supposed to do to honor the Lord. There's nothing wrong, by the way, to want to honor the Lord with your life. I would say, yes, let's do that. Let's live that way. All right? Excuse me. But those things change. Right? For some people, it's like, no, especially for ladies, your dress needs to go below your ankle, or like 1 inch below. Again, I respect people that believe that. If that's the way they honor God, that's fine. But really, maybe in 5 years, it's going to be like, okay, it can be half an inch above the ankle. How do we define that? How can we come up with those rules, right? And, I mean, if this feels uncomfortable for you, trust me, it feels uncomfortable to me too, because God is talking to my heart too, you know, like, okay, I guess there are things in my life that I think are supposed to be like this, when it's actually just a precept or a teaching that I got from somewhere. And then the second part of this verse says, according to human precepts and teachings. Have you noticed that in every single place, institution, organization, churches, whatever, there is one thing that is very common, and you can find this anywhere. Where there are people, there are problems. Do you agree with me? Yeah. I never heard of a place that, oh, these guys, they never had a disagreement. They never had, you know, they agree 100% in everything. That sounds creepy, actually. It sounds like, no, that's not right. Follow me? According to human precepts are not divine precepts, are not coming from God. These are just conclusions or ideas that somebody is having about something. I told you that I've been meeting with these Mormon guys, and you know, the more I talk to them, I don't know if I told you this story already, but it's funny because I told them, yeah, you know, let's get together. Let's meet and maybe we can have some coffee. I did not know they don't drink coffee. and I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I mean, I didn't know that you guys don't drink coffee. And they're like, oh, you know, and he gave me a whole explanation why they don't drink coffee. And I'm like, I understand it. That's fine. But this is a young guy, you know, he's like 18, 19. And I almost wanted to ask him, when was the last time that you watched something that you know is not good for you? When was the last time that you did something that you knew it wasn't honoring the Lord? You see the difference? This is just a rule imposed by somebody. I'm not saying, yes, you should drink coffee or not, you should not drink coffee. By the way, we have really good coffee over there. If you want some, it's really good. So you see how, are you following me this? This is about the condition of your heart, your relationship with God. Now listen, if in your heart you honor God by not drinking coffee, amen, that's fine. That's okay. That's the way you relate to the Lord. That's okay. For some people, coffee affects them. You know, it makes them go a little bit wild. But some people don't. Now, if a way for you to honor is not to do that, that's okay. But that does not mean that the next person has to follow that rule. Amen. So let me tell you this.
So are you saying don't judge unless you want to be judged, because God's the only one that can judge anybody?
Yeah, I mean, you can present it that way. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Now, hold on. If we have a woman, a married woman or a married man cheating on his her spouse, hold it. That is different, because the Bible talks about that. You see the difference? Then we're not judging. We're using the word of God, all right, to define if something is according to what the Bible is teaching us or not. You got that, bro? So that is the difference. Now let me tell you this. Somebody's experience does not mean that is a doctrine that we need to follow. Let me tell you this again. Somebody's experience does not mean that we all have to experience it. I'm going to give you a quick example. Do you remember Paul? Right? Paul. His name before was Saul. Is that right? Saul. Okay, Saul. Paul. Okay. Paul, you know, he's going to trying to stop all the Christians, trying to stop all the followers of Jesus, and he had a very interesting experience. You know, Jesus apparently, boom, appeared over there. Well, not apparently, he did. And he talked to him, and then he go blind. And you know the rest of the story, okay? But can you imagine? Man, that's a big experience. I mean, let's try to be on Paul's shoes right now, you know, and this happened, I'm Paul right now, and this happened to me. And then if, you know, Anna comes and say like, oh, that's not true. No, let me tell you, it happened to me. I know that. But that does not mean that it should happen to all of us. I'm going to give you an example that happened in a youth retreat we had back in the day. You know, this is many years ago. The pastor or the preacher, this is a bunch of single people, you know. And one thing about single people, when you're in the age of, I'm going to call it in the age of dating, or you're thinking already like, man, I would like to, you know, to know the one that I'm going to share my life with. You think about that, right? As a youth, as a young guy, young girl, you're thinking like, well, is he the one? Is she the one? I mean, it happens, all right? Hey, take it easy, guys. You're still too young. So this pastor, he shared that he was praying to the Lord for his wife. You know, he wanted a wife. And then he said that the Lord told him, and you know, I respect this, the Lord told him that the day that he sees a girl under the, threshold. The day you see a girl under the threshold of a door, she's the one. Now, I mean, it happened according to what he's shared with us, okay? It happened that he was walking one day in the church, and then he saw this girl under the threshold, and she was the one. And you know, bro, amen. You know, if that happened to you, amazing. In my case, it didn't happen like that, because it had to be a very long door. You know what I'm saying? Hey, don't laugh, guys. You see, Mike is always laughing at me. I told you that. It had to be a very long, it cannot be like a door for me. It had to be a long, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. So after that, guess what everybody was doing? Everybody's looking for the door. Right? And everybody's praying and check the one. It's like, oh, I don't like that one. Lord, please not. You know what I'm saying? His experience doesn't mean that it needs to happen to all of us. And I say this because it's easy, you know, that we all have different experiences, and we share experiences. But it's not the rule. That's not the precept, or that's not the, how do you say that? Say that again.
Guidelines.
Thank you. Those are not the guidelines for your life. The guidelines are here, right? So, okay. Number 23. These things, all these teachings and precepts, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom. That's a tricky one, because they actually look like wisdom, like good things. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism. I hope I said it correctly this time. And severity to the body. One thing that you will get out of self-made religion, out of asceticism, and out of severity to the body, is discipline. You're going to discipline yourself to do this or to not do this. And you know, and discipline is good. Actually, discipline is really fun. When you get the discipline of doing something, it actually feels good. Do you hear that? It feels good. It makes you feel like, I'm actually doing pretty good. However, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. And of course, you know me, I don't know the word indulgence, so I have to go check it out, and I have a definition. Indulgence is an occasion when you allow yourself to have something enjoyable, especially something that is not good for you, or something enjoyable that you allow yourself to do. For instance, how many of you like ice cream? Amen, amen. I know. We all have the call of eating ice cream, right? That's our gift. Okay. Ice cream is good. You know, even if I tell you, if I ask you, which one is your favorite flavor? Yeah, you're going to start with all different flavors and stuff, right? And I agree. Ice cream is good. I like it too. Now, ice cream, it's made out of, mainly out of sugar. And sugar is good. God created sugar. We need sugar, actually, all right? So sugar is good, right? But if you eat one bowl and then another one and then another one, and then another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. You're following me? If you eat too much ice cream, guess what? That sugar needs to go somewhere. And what sugar does, first of all, it goes to your bloodstream, and it goes and feeds every single tissue, organ of your body. All right? Everywhere. But the extra sugar that you have, our bodies are perfectly made, and the body thinks, okay, what should I do with this? I'm not going to throw it away. I'm going to store it in his store as fat. Now, fat is not bad. Fat is good. We all need fat. All right? But if you have too much than you need, then at some point it can become a problem. You see it? So it's an enjoyable thing that if we don't have control over it, it can hurt us at some point. So these things, this discipline, are no value in stopping the indulgence, are no value in stopping these actions that we are doing. Even though they're not good for us, and we enjoy them, of course. I mean, we're not going to do something that we don't like. We're not going to do something that is painful, that doesn't feel good. We're going to do some things that feel good, right, that we enjoy. But if you take it too far, it's going to kick you back. You're going to pay the consequences. In stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Because the flesh is awake and wants a lot of trash. That's what feeds the flesh. So, okay, I'm going to go to chapter 3. Verse 1 to 4, let me read it. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I'm going to stop it right there. So, remember the conditional part? If this, then that. Check this out. It starts, if then you have been raised with Christ, remember that we were dead. We were dead to the world. But we've been raised with Christ. Oh, so we're actually alive. We're dead for the world, but we're alive in Jesus. So what do you do then? Here's the key. This is the answer. So Eli, what should we do? We're not supposed to follow these rules. We're not supposed to be worried about those things, about to please people, because that's what those rules are. It's about pleasing people, right? To make sure, I mean, of course, I want you to think that I'm doing fine, that I'm doing well. I want you to think good of me, highly of me. That's my flesh, right? So the answer is seek the things that are above. And let's pause right there because above, I mean, we know there are other, I'm going to call it beings, you know, worshiping the Lord, like angels, like cherubims and some all other, I don't know how you call those guys. And, you know, there are other things that worship God. But it doesn't mean that we're going to worship them, right? We don't worship the creation. We worship the Creator only. So when he's saying above, what does he mean then? Okay, next part it says, where Christ is. Ah, that's the one. That's the one that we're supposed to, that we need, that we must seek. Christ, Jesus. And what he's doing? He's seated at the right hand of God. And I feel like this short portion means a lot. You know, especially for these people. You know, the right hand means a lot of things. Means strength. You know, means authority. Means all bunch of stuff. So the fact that he's sitting at the right hand of God tells us a lot too. He's the one in control. So that's the one that we're supposed to seek. Now check this out. This is interesting because verse 2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And I know it's easy to say, but it's a tricky one. Why? Because we're still in this world. And yes, we're dead for the world, but we're still here. And we still feel. Or how many of you, when you gave your life to the Lord, suddenly stopped feeling all the desires of the flesh? I hope nobody's thinking me because I didn't. And then I would be like, oh, really? So you don't have any bad thoughts? You don't lose control of your mind sometimes? Or, you know, take anger to a place in which you're actually sinning? Oh, you never lied after you became a Christian? So those things, they're still there. But the Lord is telling us, that's why you need to set your mind on the things that are above. And what's there? Well, it's Jesus. And who's Jesus? He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. But let me add a couple of things. His love, grace, peace, freedom. He's everything. Isn't it that interesting? Actually, what we need and what would be best for us is all those things. We need Him. And that's what He's inviting us. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That even though you can see them, and it's easier, to be honest, to follow these things because they are here, and you can actually feel them right away, don't set your mind on those things. For you have died, again, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when I read the word hidden, I was like, what does that mean? And I'm not even sure if I fully understood what it's saying, but when you hide something, this thing is protected. Right? For instance, as a dad, I tell you this. If a dog, even if it was a big dog, it was trying to get one of my kids, man, I will go hide them. I will go protect them from the dog and maybe try to kick it. Unless it's a snake. Then I will call Christy. Christy, there is a snake here, right? Of course. You know that story. So, but I will hide them. You know, I will try to protect them from that bad thing. But because I want them to be protected. I want them to be fine. I don't want them to be hurt. So our lives are protected in Jesus. In Christ. But guys, we are alive. In Jesus. Not for the world anymore. Let me share with you a conversation that I had with my cousin. So many of you met my cousin Sergio. Was it last weekend? Last Sunday. My cousin Sergio and his wife Fernanda, they came from Cancun. And I was having a conversation with him. And, you know, he's a believer. And I asked him, bro, how you doing? And I told him, and I mean the question. I actually mean the question. I'm not asking you just like, how are you doing? I'm good. No. How are you doing, bro? And he told me, you know, it's been awesome. It's been great. He started to talk about life and stuff. And then I remember he mentioned a couple years ago that he was going to a church. And I told him, are you still going to the same church? And the environment changed. I could tell it was like an oops question for him. You know, and he's like, well, you know, something happened in the church and my wife and I decided to take a break, take a pause. And I could tell he was like a little bit like, oh no, Elias gonna tell me, you need to go to church. And I told him, oh, okay. I mean, everything okay? And I told him, you don't need to share anything about the church, you know? I mean, you don't have to. Because then he's going to give me the impression of this church. And he's like, ah, that's a bad church. And, you know, in that good heart, he was like, you know what? I actually love these people, man. And even though you don't know them, allow me this time not to tell you the story. And I'm like, that's okay, bro. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. He's like, I love these people, but there are some things that is like, I just don't see it in the Bible. And then he told me, I'm just going to tell you one thing. They were not happy with us because they found out we went to the movie theater. And I'm like, hold on, what? So we still have guys believing that? And I'm like, oh, man, I'm sorry. Well, you know, and he's like, that's the only thing that I'm going to tell you. I mean, just so you understand what kind of environment it was. And he's like, yeah, that is something that I don't find in the Bible. So we decided to stop going over there, at least for a time. And I told him, okay, that's okay. You know, I'm okay with that. But how's your life? How's your relationship with God? Are you still, you know? Or this make you go like to the other side and go like, no, Christianity is a lie. No, Jesus is not true. He's like, bro, let me tell you this. I have never had a better relationship with God than right now. Call him, bro, you got it. Amen for that. And he's like, this made me sit down with my wife. And now we're reading the Bible together. We're studying the Bible together, her and I. You know, and it's been amazing. We're experiencing God in a different way now. And I feel like he's opening our understanding, both of us at the same time. And I'm like, yes. But let me ask you another question. Do you have people around you? Do you have community? Do you have somebody? Because let me tell you this. Because we live in this body, right, and we don't like thinking of ourselves that we're wrong, it's going to be hard for you to find out if something is wrong. Do you have somebody that loves you with the love of the Lord and will be able to tell you and come, hey, bro, pay attention to this in your life. Or maybe you, because that's a blessing, you know? Or maybe you can be the blessing for someone else or encouraging somebody or helping somebody in some way. And he's like, you know what? Thank you for asking that. Yes, we actually have a group of guys over there. We don't get together, you know, as a church group, whatever, but we do have community. But that's definitely something that I want to make sure that I have it. And I'm like, bro, good for you. That is awesome. So, and funny and sadly, I don't know how to describe this. He's like, wow, I don't think I had a conversation with somebody that thinks this way. And I'm not trying to say that I'm special, okay? You know that. But he was like, I cannot talk to my dad about this. And why is that? Well, because my dad thinks that if you not go to church, you're basically going to hell. Oh. You know what? Be patient. Pray for your dad. And in God's mercy, he's going to open his eyes. And he's going to understand. Now, number four, you can laugh at me with number four if you want, because what I'm going to explain to you. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Phil, I have to be honest. I don't know what that means. And you know what? When I read it, I was like, how am I going to finish this sharing with a verse that I don't fully understand? Does that make me a bad Christian? Brothers and sisters, I have to be honest. I'm not sure what it means. And I know this looks bad or funny, but I don't know. I mean, and that just makes me realize there is more for me to learn. Man, there is more. I won't be able to tell you what it means when Christ, who is your life, appears. So it sounds like when he comes back, then you also will appear with him in glory. So does that mean that when you're dead and he comes back, then you're going to wake up? Or if you're alive and he comes back, then you're going to go with him? I mean, I don't know. I don't know, maybe a guy that went, you know, to school and study the Bible so deep and different language and style might be able to give us a better explanation. I don't know. I hope, you know, as we all grow together, we all can understand maybe one day, oh, this is what it means. It feels weird to be saying this, you know, because I'm supposed to be explaining this, but I'm not sure what it means. I don't know if I should apologize for that or not, but I just don't know, and I have to be honest with you. You know, and that made me ask myself this question. And I'm going to ask you this question too. This is like a challenge for all of us. We've been talking about this, you know, all the rules or the religions and the, and I'm going to call it legalistic ideas or precepts or teachings. And I think we all agree that we've been deceived at some point in our lives, right? And we were talking about, okay, how can we protect ourselves? Not that we can, but how can God help us not get into this? And we said, well, getting to know the Word of God, knowledge. So this is the question. Does that mean that the more you know or the more knowledge you get, the better you are? Or the less temptations you will have? No. How is that even possible? Are you telling me that if I read the Bible 7 hours a day, and I mean, I had a brother, one brother in Christ once told me this. I read the Bible 8 hours a day. I'm like, that's impressive. That's amazing. And are you practicing what you're, you know, are you allowing that to change your mind and your heart? Because I'll be honest with you. I mean, sometimes I'm three, and I don't know. And maybe this happened to me only. Okay, I mean, you are in a different level. Sometimes I'm starting to read, and suddenly I'm walking in a park in Japan for some reason. I've never been to Japan, you know. But my mind can easily go to other places. And then I need to bring myself back. Like, no, I want to be here right now. You know? And sometimes it's hard. Nobody said amen. So probably it's just me, right? No, I'm just kidding. So it's not about the more you know. It's about something that we don't have power over it. Because if we have the power, then we can do it. Then we'll try to do it. Right? Remember that we read that somebody plants a seed and somebody waters the seed. But the actual growth, what actually matters, comes from Him. And I say this so we don't get discouraged when we hear that people read the Bible 8 hours. I'm not trying to say either that you should only read it 1 minute. I mean, if you can get a lot in 1 minute, man, amazing. I mean, I'm not talking about time. I'm talking about the condition of your heart, of your mind. Let me confess, if I may say, something to you. I've been reading verse 20 to, well, what is it? Chapter 3, verse 4. I've been reading these 8 verses, only these 8 verses, and this might sound bad, for 2 weeks. And I feel like still I couldn't say anything about verse 4. So that was very humbling, actually. You know, to see like, well, I guess there is room for me to grow. And I have to trust that. So it's not about how much you know. But if you allow God, Jesus, to work in your life, in your heart. I gave you the example. Remember, I gave you the example of a tick. I know that's an awful example. But that's how I can see it. You know, when a tick is attached to an animal, wherever the animal goes, there is the tick. And if the animal goes this way, there is a tick. Just sucking the blood. Right? Getting what this, they look really bad, by the way, what they need to survive, but not only for that, to grow. Because they get big. Sorry for the example. That is what we need. not saying that you should not read the Bible. We all need to read the Bible. You know why? Because I can lie to you, even without intention. I can say something that is not right, even without intention. Right? And if you don't confirm that with the Word of God, then you might get deceived. Not with a bad intention. So you see how important it is for each one of us to have that relationship with God. God loves connecting with us. From the very beginning, you can see that with Adam and Eve, He loved connecting with them. And it's funny because He does not need us, but still, His love is so much. And He enjoys connecting with us. So, that is the challenge, encouragement for all of us, me too. Let's seek individually and together as a group, as a family in Christ, the things that are above. Let's seek Jesus Christ because He's God and He wants to be known. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You that You are faithful. We thank You that You express Yourself in so many ways, that You've shown us the way to the Father. God, I pray that You help us understand and grow. I pray, Lord, that we can see the things that we believe that we have to do, and that we can just allow You to do the work that we need to be done in our lives, in our hearts. I pray for each person here today. Thank You, Jesus. We bless Your name and we love You. Amen. Amen. So I believe we have a meal. So please do stay. Is there anything else? Okay, brother. Yeah, thank you guys. Love you.
Okay. Thank you, Ali, for sharing that. That was a great sermon and a great message. And I think I think sometimes that God intentionally doesn't let us understand the Bible so that we need each other to learn it. Because if one person could figure it out, He doesn't need anybody else. And I don't think that's the kind of life that God wants us to live. And so I don't feel bad if I don't understand all the verses. Somebody else will show me. So thank you for sharing that. there is a meal planned and everybody is welcome to stay for that. And we'll just ask the blessing on that, and then I'll turn the time over to Phil. Thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for speaking to us. And Lord, help us to remember these things as we go through our week and through situations and circumstances. I just pray, Lord, You would help us to look to You and just continue to guide us and lead us. Thank You for each one here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I just had a couple announcements. One is this coming Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, John and Penny Olive, some of you may remember them. They live in Cheyenne, and John and Penny and Katie and I have been friends for over 20-some years. And he's shared the Word of God in numerous ways, and he has a ministry there in Cheyenne especially to addicts. And so he ministers a lot to them through that ministry, has done so for many years. And he's been here on and off. I've invited him to come in and share the word with us. And they're celebrating their 40th anniversary. Amen. That's something that we celebrate with them. And so I asked him, they wanted to come down on Saturday at 4 o'clock, and they want to just renew their wedding vows. And they want me to officiate over that. And he wanted me to invite all of you to that. Anyone who wants to come, Saturday at 4 o'clock, just to have that kind of time of, it's going to be short. They're going to spend the night here. And then I asked him on Sunday if he would share the word with us. And hopefully he's going to share something to encourage us in faithfulness to each other. And just as a testimony of what God's faithfulness has been to them in their married life. And then on Sunday, we want to do a special meal for them and just kind of make it a celebration of their 40th anniversary. So I wanted to give you a heads up on that, invite you to that Saturday at 4 o'clock. And then on Sunday, we'll have that special celebration with them, and he'll be sharing the word. Also, this week, as I've been thinking about mothers, been missing mom, you know, and her life and ministry to us all these years, and just been thankful for Katie and for my mom in Pennsylvania. And then I came across this song I think is a fairly new song that I heard, and I want to sing it today. We want to play it for you mothers, and I thought it was just very fitting and beautiful. Let's listen to it. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised.
Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. I wanted to obey that word today because it's God's truth in each one of our lives. Thank you, mamas. Father, thank you for giving us the love of a mama, every one of us. And I pray that as we go through life, each day we would treasure that love because it's your love. You told Israel, should a mom forget her nursing baby? Maybe. But you will never forget us. And your care for us is greater than the love of a mom. But I want to thank you for giving us this earthly love that we can treasure all our days. Thank you for giving us a day when we can be reminded to treasure the love of a mother. And to praise her and fulfill your word and bless her because of your great calling of motherhood in this world. And I pray today for your children everywhere that you would strengthen our homes, that you would strengthen the mothers today, that you would, Lord, as the world today celebrates it, or at least in the U.S., that you would strengthen the love and your grace and your call in mothers' hearts, and bless them with your presence and shepherd our hearts and preserve our marriages and our children's hearts. And you would help us as fathers to know how to honor them every day and bless them and praise them. Like you told us to live with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto them. So today, and I pray you would put this in our hearts, to honor them as you do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, today we're going to do just that. We men got the kitchen today, ladies. So like I told Faith this morning, what are you doing in the kitchen? Get out of here. You know she runs the kitchen. I know they just came in those doors. I was just giving her a hard time. But today we want you ladies to go first and We put the food out there, and we just want to be a blessing to you. So, and to use this moment to bless you and to honor you for all the things that you do and are to us in God's family. All right. Well, with those words, you can be dismissed. We're going to open the door. The food is ready, and we just invite you as moms to go first. And then we dads will follow up with the kids.